This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Now from Times Square. Here's what you need to know.
Dr. Joe, we do have some important medical news to talk about. We're looking at the possible connection between social isolation and unhealthy cravings.
Right. So two common things, loneliness and food cravings. This small study published in JAMA Network Open really looked to see whether there was an association, and if so, how much. So let me take you through it. They looked at about 100 women ages 18 to 50. Their data endpoints that they used, MRIs, body composition data. They also had these women fill out a mental health questionnaire. And what they found is that those women who reported higher degrees of loneliness also had a higher percentage of fat mass, food cravings and food addiction behaviors, and a lower quality overall diet. We don't know the reasons for this, but possible theories are that loneliness can change brain patterns that impact motivation and control and our response to food. But again, making this observation is really the first step.
Yeah, and the study tackles, as you mentioned, obesity and the loneliness epidemics, right, which are both huge in our country. Right. Can this help us find some solutions for these?
I mean, ideally, that is the goal. But when you talk about two things that are so common, really the first step in public health and medicine and science is to see where or if we can connect the dots, and then you can set out to try to manage, treat, and ideally prevent both of them. So first steps here.
All right, hopefully solutions are coming. Yep. Dr. Jen, thank you for that. We turn now to ABC's Jacqueline Lee in Los Angeles with our latest headlines. Hey, Jacqueline.
Hey, Rhiannon, great to be with you. We begin here with Israel's retaliatory attack. Firing back inside Iran, a senior U.S. official confirms to ABC News. Iranian state media reporting that drone attack, but no damage apparently to nuclear sites or casualties. Iranian leaders playing down the incident and hopes rising now in the U.S. and around the world that after this latest minimal response, there may be no further escalation. Opening statements could begin on Monday in the hush money criminal trial against former President Donald Trump. Seven men and five women now sworn in as jurors in the New York City trial. Alternates will be chosen today. Prosecutors say they won't reveal which witnesses will be called first because they're concerned Trump may verbally attack them. Trump has denied all wrongdoing. And far-right Republicans are again threatening to yank the House Speaker role from fellow Republican Mike Johnson for trying to pass billions of dollars in aid to Ukraine and Israel. Speaker Johnson says he's willing to risk his job over the issue. House lawmakers expected to take up the funding bills this weekend. And we're learning more about that tragic story of two people caught in the middle of an alleged online scam in Ohio. New body camera video showing authorities on the phone with the person they believe was behind the scheme that led to a deadly confrontation between an elderly homeowner and an unsuspecting Uber driver. The alleged scammer said he'd meet with authorities, but they say he never showed. He's still at large. And Ginger Z has our weekend weather.
All right, so we've had a lot of tornadoes and a lot of damaging wind this week, and we've got more. The last 24 hours, you see Barre, Illinois, outside St. Louis, there were just damaging winds everywhere, and that's what did the damage here in Jefferson County, about southwest of St. Louis itself, ripping a roof off. Thankfully, everybody inside the building was okay because there was a rehearsal dinner happening. But look at this. Today, we'll see more of those thunderstorms that can do that type of damage from Alabama into North Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. And that'll go through tonight. Some of the fuel for that is heat. And we're talking record heat potentially for Tampa. If they hit 90, they tie it. If they go above it, they break it. And through the weekend, much of Central and South Florida are going to be super toasty.
And our thanks to Ginger for that. And they're calling it the Caitlin Clark effect. So many people want to see WNBA games now since the NCAA stars have turned pro. You know, even some games are moving to larger arenas. The lowest ticket prices are soaring past the $100 mark. The New York Liberty will host Clark's team, the Indiana Fever, on May 18th at the Barclays Center. And you can see that game on ESPN. Guys, we love women power, right?
Absolutely. My husband and daughter already got tickets to that game at the Barclays Center. They got them from a friend because they are
just two.
Insane, just two.
Not
I
three.
Can't go. I know. So sad.
But you'll cheer from home watching on TV, right?
Thanks, Jacqueline. There's much more ahead here on this Friday GMA3. Our team dives into that new Taylor Swift anthology. What you need to know about the pop history unfolding
and other surprises, as we would expect from Taylor, behind the secret double album.
She loves surprising us. Plus, some great tips for planning your family's next fun but affordable getaway to the nation's magnificent parks. Come on back.
A few hours ago at midnight, the music superstar's latest project dives into her relationships, big moments, and more from her whirlwind life.
Are you ready for it?
Yes.
I had to. It's a highly anticipated album. People have been waiting for this. It keeps delivering surprises. That's her favorite. Plus, lots of clues to her personal life. So joining us now to break it all down are ABC News contributor Mike Muse and entertainment editor Reveille Ruff. And I am so happy you both are here. And I'm so happy, Mike, because we fell asleep. We didn't listen to the whole album. We only listened to the first part. You listened to the whole thing.
I listened to all the double album, all 30 songs. I mean, this is the day that so many Swifties have been waiting for, to hear what Taylor Swift has to say. She's coming off of this epic Eras tour. We want to know what is left to be said, and she has a lot to talk about. This collaboration she did with Post Malone, for me, really sets the tone of this album. It's moody, it's melancholy, it's very haunting in certain areas with really catchy vibes, but also, too, this goes into the collaboration that she truly has in partnership with Zach Antonoff and Aaron Dessner. Those are her key collaborators who really know her the best and really knows how to get the most out of her, to really structure it in ways that we see of where she is now. And really, this album is about the dichotomy of Taylor. We usually see Taylor in her feelings, in heartbreak, in relationships, but this is a different type of heartbreak. She's like, yes, my heart is broken, but I'm moving on. It's almost like, so what, right? And that's a new Taylor that's more stronger, more edgier, and more defiant.
Let's talk about some of the logistics that happened here, right? So we heard the breakout single. Now break down this album for us, because Spotify was saying this was the most pre-saved album of all time. It was supposed to be like 16 new tracks, one album. Surprise!
Exactly.
Second drop at 2 a.m.
Yes, it's a shock drop for all the Swifties. It was supposed to be just the 16 songs that we were expecting, but it actually turns out to be 31 songs, a secret double album. And like you said, she broke the Spotify algorithm. She broke everything. Like, it shut down when the fans found out at 2 a.m. Now, I want to get her words right. She said, I've written so much tortured poetry in the last 2 years, and I wanted to share it all with you. So here's the second installment. 15 extra songs. And now the story isn't mine anymore. It's all yours. And people ate it up. They shut down Spotify. But just to talk about the album originally, Taylor said she'd written over the last 2 years stories of heartbreak, longing, anger, self-reflection, and she really delivered. And I was surprised. Standout song for me was Down Bad. It's really catchy, but it's kind of like morose and dark if you listen to the lyrics. That's just Taylor's way.
It is Taylor's way. Let's talk about the lyrics, because whether you're a Swiftie or not, you have to respect her songwriting. She is really very good, very clever with her songwriting. You said you were excited to see where she goes this album.
I was.
Are you excited? I mean, are you surprised by where she went?
Not at all. Because you know what really it is? Everybody has that challenge when they start out as a young child actor or a child pop star. How do you grow with your audience? Taylor has a younger audience as well that she has to be mindful of. But I think she is growing up and leaning into more the older sides of her audience. And you really saw that with the song I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. That's actually one of my favorite songs because it has a little bit of a vibe, a little bit of a kick to it. But she's really like, I had a broken heart this whole time Eras. I'm out here dancing, but I'm crying and falling on the floor. And she's using profanity and cuss words to really describe how she's feeling in that moment. I thought that was a little bit of a surprise for me, but I enjoyed it. And I was like, oh, she's growing up. But then you hear the song Florida, really, you see the edginess of that. And that's with Florence from Florence and the Machine. The edginess starts to come out. She's talking about drugs in that song. She's talking about some pain in that song. And that really informs the other song, which is Clara Bow. And that was interesting because Clara was this incredible cinematic star during the silent film era that was really was eaten alive by the tabloids in her time period. She then transitions in that same song to Stevie Nicks, but then she speaks to herself as third person, as like, you have more edge than this Taylor Swift, talking about her in third person. But I think Florida is informing Clara Bow.
Well, let's talk more about the lyrics and the things that she has to say, because that's what the Swifties, they love the Easter eggs, right? That's what they call them, the Easter eggs. Did she deliver on the Easter eggs in this?
She more than delivered. Taylor is always very calculated with the things she does, and she leaves a lot of breadcrumbs for the dedicated Swifties and her fans to kind of find what the clues are. So for this one, there's one that's being talked about a lot online, So Long London. People are speculating that it's about her longtime relationship with Joe Alwyn. They were together in London. They actually shared a home there. So Long London sounds like she's saying goodbye to him. And actually, the song is 9 minutes and 28 seconds long. And their relationship anniversary was September 28th. So it's a little clue for everyone. Ooh. Exactly. Fans actually assume there'll be tons of references to Joe's relationship, but I think we're hearing a little bit more about some of her more recent flings. The first song, I forgot the name of it. The first track sounds like the romance with her 1975 frontman, Matty Healy. It actually sounds like a 1975 song as well, like rhythmically. She describes choosing a cyclone with a partner who is tattooed golden retriever. So she's called, he has a lot of tattoos, and it kind of sounds like she's calling him dog a little bit. Mm. So that's what the fans are saying anyway.
The fans have a lot to say.
Always.
You don't believe me, go online, because they are breaking it all down. Thank you guys for breaking this down for us today. By the way, listen to Alchemy about Travis Kelce.
That's the Travis Kelce one.
That's the one, joyful song.
Yeah, but Daddy, I Love Him Too really talks about, she's kind of critiquing her fans by saying, hey, the fans, sometimes they will raise you, but then they want to put you in a cage. And mm-hmm. I think that is fascinating.
There's a lot to break down here just ahead on GMA3 National Park Week. Did you know it starts tomorrow?
Yeah, and we have just the guide with some affordable and fun suggestions for your family's next adventure. We're back in just a bit.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
Welcome back. Some 325 million people visited U.S. national parks last year, and with over 85 million acres of land, there really is room for everyone.
Yes, there is. Here to give us some exciting trip ideas for this spring and summer that are also cost-effective and eco-friendly is the National Park Service Director, Chuck Sands. Chuck, thank you for being here, Director.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
So let's talk, because everything is so expensive these days, including travel. So people are looking for, ways to save some money when they're traveling, whether they're traveling alone, with their family, with friends. Tell us some of the things that make the park such great places to travel to. What are some of the reasons people should go?
America's best idea is its national parks. There are over 429 national parks across the United States in all 50 states and U.S. territories. It's a great opportunity to visit them. Only about 100 of them actually have some fee, so they're very affordable for folks to get out and enjoy and recreate.
We like the affordable part of it, especially if you have children. They get real expensive real fast. What do people need to know when planning a trip to a park?
First and foremost, go to our site, nps.gov, and look up the park that you want to go into. And if you can, download our app. It will tell you everything you need to know about the parks before you go, including what the weather is, what the traffic is, whether you need to get a permit or a reservation. They're not always required, but it helps you actually plan that out. And we ask folks to plan like a ranger.
Plan like a ranger, that's all. You made history as the first Native American National Park Service Director back in 2021. With that huge responsibility, what are your priorities as the director?
I was very fortunate. I grew up on the Umatilla Indian Reservation in Northeast Oregon, and we're all about community. And so taking care of your people first and foremost. So coming into this job, we have 21,000 dedicated staff at the height of season across these 429 parks. We need to take care of those folks to make sure they have good pay, good housing, and things to do so that they are actually protecting and preserving these places we love. Next was actually working with tribes as a tribal member, ensuring that we're upholding our trust responsibility to the tribes under the federal government, ensuring that they have a chance to look at the parks and help plan those things so that people can continue to enjoy these parks for generations to come.
And we constantly see people taking selfies, doing things that maybe aren't safe in the national parks. What advice would you have for tourists regarding that? I can imagine that you just grimace whenever you hear these stories.
I do, because, you know, there is an abundance of flora and fauna out there, but we have a number of species of animals that are large, bison. And we ask people to use the rule of thumb. If you put your thumb out and it covers the animal, you're far enough away. If you can see the animal from around your thumb, you're way too close to that animal.
Such a good tip. Thank you so much. It's a good reminder of all the beautiful things that you can experience in this country for not that much money, but stay not too close.
Is this the Grand Canyon right here?
I think this is Bryce Canyon.
Is
actually.
It? It's beautiful.
I love that you know it just
from
the picture.
From one picture.
Thank you so much for being with us. National Park Week starts tomorrow. Make sure to go online and check out all of the special events taking place near you.
And as he mentioned, a lot of them are free. Next year on GMA3, Dr. Jen Ashton with ways to boost your gut health.
And later, we're getting crafty with Dulce Sloan here with some fun and beautiful things you can make just in time for Mother's Day.
Welcome back. We keep hearing about record-breaking high temperatures. And last summer 2023, we saw the highest numbers of emergency department visits due to heat-related emergencies.
Yeah, exactly. The highest, that says a lot, right? And these are not just, you know, people or pets being caught in cars. This is just how the climate is affecting our health directly, not even indirectly. And I think we need to remember that the season in this country where people can be exposed to extreme heat and temperatures is not just the middle of the summer. Yes, of course, that's when the highest ER visit data came from, July and August, but it starts in May and it goes all the way through September. Various parts of the country seeing very, very high temperatures. And we have to remember, a lot of people work outdoors. It's not optional for them. So I think when you talk about the big picture of climate change, I once heard a comment and I'll never forget it. The world has been here billions of years. The world will survive. It's the people who won't. And so that's why we really have to take this seriously, and we have to pay attention to all of the weather in our areas and then modify our behaviors accordingly.
What can you do, though, if you have to be out in those kinds of temperatures?
Well, I think this is a whole new toolkit that we're going to have to get up to speed on, right? And it includes taking regular breaks, wearing clothing that provides some degree of temperature protection, seeking shade, drinking cold beverages, avoiding things that we know can make us more susceptible. But the older, the younger people with chronic conditions, they don't have an option. So this is something that emergency room doctors have been tracking for a long time, and it is going in the wrong direction.
And we need to be checking on those people as well, making sure they're okay.
And they need to understand that just because it hasn't been a problem in the past doesn't mean it won't be this summer.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Dr. Jen. We'll be right back.
We are back with Dr. Jen, and we are looking at our gut health and your prescription for wellness today.
Do you guys know there's more DNA in our gut bacteria in the microbiome that we have human DNA in us. So anyone who isn't kind of up to speed on gut health, this is your time. It's not too late. There are some tips to kind of, you know, some lean into some health and wellness for your GI tract. Number one, this is a big one for me, enjoy smaller meals. You know, it kind of, it gives your gut a little bit more of an opportunity to kind of digest and process, and for the genes to process those meals. Creating a routine is also important because, again, we have cellular, metabolic, biological clocks, so that can be a good tip. Considering a probiotic or a prebiotic, this is the food that our gut bacteria actually lives on, so you can get that via food sources or supplements. And then this is a big one, limit food or drink around bedtime. That should really be for everyone.
Can you tell my kids?
Yeah. Tell them to call me. That's important, again, not just for your gut health, but for your sleeping quality as well.
And you can send your medical questions on Instagram at ABCGMA3.
Up next here on GMA3, building community in an era of epic loneliness. Our Faith Friday conversation is coming up.
And later on, our spotlight on Broadway with star Deborah Cox from the new Wiz revival. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. It's Faith Friday here on GMA3, and our next guest
know a thing or two about working with their spouse. They are authors and pastors of Vintage Church Malibu in California.
That's right. That's their song that they're actually performing that we hear right there. In their new book, Fighting for Family, they reflect on how to build community in the midst of a loneliness epidemic. We've been talking about that all hour. Please welcome Chris and Julie Bennett. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
So nice to have
so
you.
Fun.
Let's talk about your new book. That song, by the way, beautiful.
Thank you.
Your book is all about family and belonging. But we're not just talking your blood family, we're also talking your chosen family as well. Tell us, why was this book so important to write?
Yeah, that's right. I think that's what we found is that, as you mentioned, we're the most connected generation, but it's actually being called the loneliest, most divided generation that's ever lived. And people are looking for connection and belonging. And although we've been married, we have four kids, we know that's not everybody's experience. And most people are finding family through their found family or their chosen family. And so we really wrote this to help people kind of get tools to figure out how do you build belonging, whatever your background and experience is, like right where you are.
Julie, why do you think we're going through this loneliness epidemic that's happening right now? And what do you do to combat it?
Yeah, you know, I think one thing we can all rally around is that we've all been a mess. We've all experienced it. Like, that's the one thing humanity can go, yeah, I get that. You know, in our book, we share these stories of, I mean, betrayal in our marriage, cancer relapse, moving 20 times in a new city while I did chemo. And, you know, as we share these tips to removing the barriers to building belonging, we find ourselves in this loneliness where we can relate to the suffering and the hard things of life, but we feel like that we're a burden. We feel like that we don't belong. You know, I think 40% of Americans have 0 to 1 confidant. And so we go, okay, I feel alone and my pain is so great, so it has to be safer to isolate. But, you know, during my first cancer battle, I had 14 women come and invite me in when I was in a new city. And I had a lot of self-protection I wanted to grab with me, but I had to make the intentional choice to say, I'm gonna show up. I've been hurt in family before. Sometimes I've hurt people, but I have to keep taking the risk so that in this epidemic of loneliness, where our social media, our differences, all of these things, we can still come together and find belonging.
You have 4 kids.
Yeah.
You mentioned all the ups and downs of a normal relationship. How do you work together? How do you guys manage
it? That's a good question. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think what makes family family is you go through hard things together. Yeah. And I think that's what we've realized is, you know, we've had to work really hard because we've been through hard things, and we can either pull away and walk away or we can work through. And so I think a lot of it is just being open. Like, vulnerability is a core value for us as a family and for our kids. So
it's
even
really
going
easy, right?
Yeah, very easy. But yeah, even all the 20 moves and cancer battles, our whole family went through it, not just Julie. And so we tried to walk in openness and let them know, hey, here's how mom and dad are doing. This is really hard. And they saw us go through the struggle together, which is key.
And, you know, one thing we write about in the humility chapter is that 2 things we try and live by. I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. And I can learn from you. I mean, I do think I know everything a lot of times, which is partly why I have to remind myself I can learn from the person in front of me.
Yeah.
And my spouse.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, and you.
Even with your kids as well, right?
Yeah, and our kids.
We have so much to learn from them.
So much.
So beautiful. And we always do this every Friday. It's one of our favorite parts. Yeah. We ask for words of wisdom as we head into the weekend for everyone out there watching.
Yeah, you know, I would just say that in this epidemic of loneliness, when we're thinking about building family with those around us, whether you're married, whether you're divorced, single, your chosen family, that, you know, you are not alone. And belonging is not just something that you find, it's something that you bring. And during COVID, we found a group of singles at our table towards the end of it when we could gather, and they said that, and it just touched us so much. So even though you might not feel like you belong, you can bring that to somebody else and watch family grow around you.
We were bathroom friends this morning.
We were bathroom friends. She was singing like,
you guys have already connected.
I saw her walk out. I was like, oh gosh.
I totally embarrassed myself. You made my day. You were singing.
You were
excited.
You were so lovely.
I know.
It's always fun here on Fridays. Julie and Chris Bennett, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
You can pick up a copy of Fighting for Family everywhere books are sold.
Just ahead here on GMA3, she's known for her comedy, but she's also crafty.
Funny and artsy, yes. Dulce Sloan is here with some great ideas for making something wonderful for mom. Don't go anywhere, we'll be right back.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Welcome back to GMA3. Mother's Day is just around the corner, and if you're spinning your wheels trying to figure out what to give to mom, don't worry, we got you.
Yeah, and we brought in a friend to say some help, right? Dulce Sloan, queen of comedy and crafting, is here to help us today make a few things for mom. So good to have you.
Yes, so thank you for having me. I'm so excited to get to do crafting on TV.
Yes, so, yes, we're making candles.
So this is something that my mom actually wanted to get into. So for her birthday, she's like, I want to make candles. And I was like, okay, I have to figure out how to make candles.
So you just learned how to do all this?
A couple months ago.
Wow.
She's like, I'm an expert.
But listen, when you got some free time over a Christmas break, you too can make 40 candles. So basically the things that you'll want to get are, and you can get this at your local craft store. It's actually a lot easier than it used to be to get the supplies for this. So you can either get jars that are made for candle making or any jar that you have in your house. The secret to using a jar that is in your house is to put boiling water in it first. Mm. And if it shatters, then you cannot put hot wax in it. So, because I figure it's easier to clean up hot water than it is to clean up hot wax.
That's actually really smart.
Yes.
I know a couple of things. So the first thing you want to do is, once you have your vessel, you're going to get these are the wicks.
Okay.
And it's easier to get the ones that already have the wick base on the bottom. And there are these things called glue dots that you place on the bottom of the base.
Oh, so then it sticks to the bottom.
So it sticks to the bottom. And so you have to make sure you secure it correctly, because if you don't, when you pour the wax, it will float to the top.
Ooh.
So this is a little secret that I learned on TikTok. You take a reusable straw, whether metal or plastic, slide it into there, and then that
is brilliant.
And that way you can put the pressure to make it stick.
Right, because if you don't, you're using a stick and you're trying to get all around it. So shout out to the girl on TikTok who taught me this.
Yes.
So now your wick is placed.
Okay.
So the next thing you're going to do is you're going to get your wax. Now this is soy wax. This is what the new, this is whatever, people use paraffin, there's also gel wax, but I think this is the easiest to work with for a beginner.
Okay.
And so there's two ways to do this. You can get a kitchen scale and you can weigh the container and you can weigh the wax. Or if you went to a public school like I did, you just figure it out. So,
hey, we turned out just fine.
Yes.
Listen, we got good jobs. And so we take the wax. And so this is about 4 cups of wax.
Okay.
And so this is a wax pitcher. And so this is a double boiler. And so you put water into a pot, and then you put the wax into this container.
Yes. Okay.
One, it stops you from destroying the pots in your home.
Yes.
But two, it helps you to regulate the temperature better.
So okay. You want to take creme brulee I discovered.
Right. No, like a Bon Marie.
Yeah.
So you want to get a thermometer, and I prefer the kitchen thermometers, where the ones where it clips onto here. And so it'll melt around, like, you get up to a temperature like 150 or 160, and then you want to let it cool down a little bit. One, it makes it a little safer to handle. Two, if it's too hot, it'll actually burn your fragrance.
Oh.
So
you then it won't smell good at all.
It won't smell great at all. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the wax and we're going to pour it into paper cups.
Oh, so you have some already made.
Yes.
Oh,
okay. You didn't trust us to do this?
Y'all are going to make a candle.
Ooh,
right now.
Ooh, yay.
So
I love this.
You
this
pour
is
it in.
Easy, but I'm starting to understand why candles are so expensive.
Yeah.
Yes, it's so expensive because it's just like, well, I can't do this at my house. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
So.
But now you can, because we're showing you how.
So the first thing you want to do is, I like to start with the fragrance, because sometimes the fragrance can actually affect your color.
Okay, which fragrance would
so
you
we have
like?
Lavender, sure. And then we have a eucalyptus mint.
Perfect.
So
how much?
There's a science to it. When you weigh it, you
I
use about like a 10. But if you're going to public school route, just throw in a couple of drops so your heart feels good.
Okay.
So heart feels good. Count your drops?
Could
you do about like 5 drops, because if you add too
like
much,
20.
God bless.
The
you don't
whole house is going to smell like eucalyptus mint.
Yep.
And
mine's
what a time
like
to
lavender.
Be alive. So then here are our colors. And we've got our three basic colors and a lot of other kits they'll sell. Before you drop your color in, let me tell you one thing.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I'm just going to move them over here while you tell us.
So you want to start with your lightest color first.
Okay.
Because your darkest color, because you can go light to dark, but you can't go dark to light.
Okay.
So say you're trying to make a green. This was 10 drops. This was 20 drops of yellow and one drop of blue.
Okay. Oh, I understand.
So your darker color is much stronger. So if you just want to do a straight, like a straight blue or straight, whatever the color is out of the container, you can do that. If you want to mix and do a little color theory, you start with that.
I'm gonna try to make purple. Let me see if I can. That's red and blue, right? I did go to public school. I learned that.
Fran,
there.
I say count the drops.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You counted now.
I didn't count a
single
drop.
We don't know what color this is gonna be. Okay. Hey. Also, you have to be careful because if you put in too much color in, it'll affect your wax.
Okay.
So if you want to know what color it's going to be before the wax set, there's pieces of paper right here.
We were clearly great students.
I mean, y'all love following instructions. And so, if you want to see what the color is going to be before you pour it in there, in case you want to change it, finish mixing it.
It is purple.
It looks purple, but if you want to make sure what color it is, you take a white piece of paper and wipe your wax across
it. Now, see, that's pretty.
And now you know.
Oh, nice.
Now you know what's going to be. So say you wanted this to be a little bit more blue.
Mm-hmm.
So something like a wine color.
It does.
So if you wanted it a little bit more purple, you can see that now this is what the color is going to be when it dries. So now that we've got that, you're going to go ahead and pour it into your glass.
Okay. Is this the last step?
Put it down because it's hot. Oh. Let's set it down.
Oh, that's like you telling me to put it down.
Yeah.
We are so crafty here, me and Eva.
Because I don't know, because this is like 120 degrees.
Do not follow us.
Please don't.
Okay. We're out of time.
We're going to have the rest of these instructions in other places.
Don't say thank you so much.
It's hot. Just remember that. It's hot. Don't pick it up. It's hot.
Up next, the all-new revival of The Wiz is rocking Broadway.
Gwen the Good Witch, also known as the Talented Deborah Cox, has audiences on their feet, and she joins us in just a bit.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
All-new Broadway revival of The Wiz, an updated take on the famed musical adaptation of the Wizard of Oz classic.
Our next guest is blowing the roof off of Broadway's Marquee Theater with her performance as Glinda. Please welcome to the studio Grammy-nominated artist, Deborah Cox.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good to be here.
This show is getting so much buzz.
Oh, yes.
I mean, like, everyone is talking about it. You're Glinda the Good Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about this role.
I am thrilled. I'm exhilarated. It is so awesome to be on stage with this cast. It's just a phenomenal show. The creative team have put together something that is really classic, monumental, and I think pretty groundbreaking for Broadway. So I love playing this fantastical, magical character. It's a character that I've always dreamed about playing, and I love being able to pay homage to the great Lena Horne. That was my introduction to The Wiz was seeing the movie. But you know, with this production, I think the essence of the story, we pay homage and honor the original Broadway revival, Broadway show, which was almost 50 years ago.
Wow.
And so when you talk though about the history and that it is a classic, but that you as an artist are bringing it to modern times, can you kind of let us in on what goes through your mind especially when you look back to the likes of Lena Horne, when you say, how am I gonna make this Glinda mine?
It's challenging and frightening all at the same time, because you want to do something that will stay integral and make an impression, but in a very a good way. And we wanted to make sure that this was a classic. You know what I mean? Amber Ruffin did an amazing job on the book. You know, and so it's about storytelling, and again, having the essence of the original story, but bringing, you know, the Black culture and seeing the show and portraying the show from a different lens.
There is something so magical about a Broadway opening night. Yes. And you guys just had yours. How
yes.
was it?
Yes, it was magical. It was a folk yellow carpet, which was a lot of fun.
Yellow Brick
and,
Road.
Yes. And all of us were just, you know, taking it all in, staying in the moment. And we knew that some of the original cast members were going to be in the audience. Mr. Andre DeShields and Stephanie Ooh. Mills, they were there. Dee Dee Bridgewater. George Faison, I got to pay homage to them. They were all there, but we were just thrilled that they loved our show and that it was received so well.
Can I just
we
say,
we had sold out audiences all across the country.
And
sorry.
I have to say, she has the most beautiful skin I think I've ever seen you. In my entire yes. life.
Yeah.
Doesn't she?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Do you have a secret?
I have a good team. Shout out to Kirk and Ashley who. Kirk designed the makeup for the show, and he does my makeup as well. Wow. And we have a great team of people that put this show together. Every single night we get on stage and we just put out our best and hope that people are inspired and moved by the show.
And your mama and daddy, because those jeans, you know.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Deborah Cox, for being here with us today. And you can see The Wiz on Broadway now playing at the Marquee Theater. And that is what you need to know for this week. I'm Eva Pilgrim.
I'm Rhea Annalee.
And I'm Dr. Jen Ash.
For all of us here at ABC News, have a wonderful weekend, everyone.
Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.